Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer and Corey Friedman tonight as we go over the, let's just call it the CJ Edwards revenge game at Wrigley Field. Corey, how you feeling?
The vibes were electric, Luke, as you tweeted when they when the Cubs had seven singles in that four-run seventh inning. And I, you know, the Nationals aren't good. So I kind of figured like, okay, they're going to pick up another win here. And just like that, it was really quick.
It happened quickly. David Elliott says that was painful. Yeah, I mean, they come back, they get your spirits up. And to blow that game that quickly, and then Carl Edwards to come in and get his first save since 2020, his first time back at Wrigley Field.
Right.
Strikes out Wilson, strikes out Nico to end the game. We have to call it the CJ Edwards revenge game. Good for him. Question.
Yeah, he was always a very likable guy. And, you know, someone who, like, you know, the command failed him and it just, he needed a change of scenery. But one of those guys who I'm always... I didn't remember that he was on Washington, but over the years when I've seen him on other teams, I always root for him. I'm always hoping that he's sticking with a major league club. He could have blown one tonight, right? Like it wouldn't have been that big a deal.
Well, after they threw out Suzuki at second, the very next thing he does is walk the tying run back on first base. And I'm thinking, well, that's what I remember happening at the end of his tenure with the Cubs, that type of stuff where he just couldn't get a hold of the command. So anyways, 6-5 Nationals win. They are the worst team in all of baseball. And early on, it was, you know, really the Stroh show is what we were looking at tonight, looking at what we're going to get with Marcus Stroman. And, you know, I know they were saying on the broadcast, well, if you take out the two homers, it was a pretty good game. Other than that, he really didn't make any mistakes. Yeah, but they were... Four runs worth of home runs. Yeah. That's like saying if we didn't give up those three touchdowns in the third quarter, we were right in that game. Well, you weren't in that game. So I don't know. I was a little disappointed. I maybe I'm wrong. I'm just starting to get this feel. And I know he had a great stretch, Corey. He was really good for a little while. I just get the feel if you have a really good if you have the next great Cubs team. I view Marcus Stroman as a John Lackey. I don't view him as one of your top three guys. Not by the time the Cubs are good. I don't even know if he's that now. I'd rather see Steele and Thompson out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had a good stretch. And I think a lot of the underlying numbers look pretty in line with his career. And in some cases, I think are near some of the better numbers in his career. But similar to how you're talking about those home runs, you can't take out some of the bad starts, right? They did happen. I'm not sure I think he's better than where John Lackey was in 2016. I would be pretty confident in that. But where I would agree with you is, you know, even if you're looking at next year, I don't think 2023 is the next great Cubs team. But right. I think there's a path to being competitive. If you want to do that, there's got to be someone else who's the one, I think. And I don't know if that's even a controversial opinion at this point. I think top of the rotation arm is one of the things they must add to this team if you're looking to kind of take things to the next level next year.
But that's what I'm saying. So like, okay, let's say they add that arm and that arm is Rodon or whoever the guy might be, they might be lucky enough to get that could be called their real number one. All right, I still would put Thompson or Steele number two and Stroman maybe as my number three on that team. And so that's why I'm saying next great Cubs team, if that's 24, 25, or 26, and he's still on the team, I see him, you know, his career is not going on the up anymore. It's slowly heading down. So that's why I say by the time the Cubs would be the next great Cubs team, I could see him being a lackey type guy. Still a guy you would want on your team, but not somebody you'd be counting on as your number one, number two, number, maybe at that point, even number three. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, at this point too, like you need consistency, right? Like some of it is you know, obviously getting hurt is not something mm-hmm. he controls. He got COVID, like all of this stuff is, you know, stuff that's not really performance based, but you still need consistency. And that's going to be something that Jed is going to have to weigh as he's building this roster is, you know, it's a very different scenario, but like, you know, we heard more of, from Kyle Hendricks that kind of sounds like we're not going to see him in game action again this year, getting MRIs, stuff like that. They're different, obviously, in their career and where they are right now, but it's sort of the same question of like, you need that consistency and what exactly are you expecting from these guys, you know, and are you sure of it? And that I think is, you know, a question mark. And these last, I'm not sure how many starts it's going to be, but a little over a month and a half, you know, if Stroman can really settle in and continue the kind of run that he was on, it would go a long way towards confidence, I think, in the rotation next year.
Yeah. And I don't want to put, you know, too much weight on one start or two home runs or anything like that. I'm just saying it's just kind of been the general vibe about the whole season. It's kind of been a little bit of a roller coaster ride for him. And I thought that was, you know, one of those broadcasting moments that you sit back and you can appreciate was when Ryan Dempster's talking about the first home run and he's learned from this, you know, up and in, not the spot to throw it to this guy, work a different part of the zone. And it couldn't have been two pitches later. He goes right back to that spot.
Yeah.
Boom, there it goes. Three run homer. And you're like, oh, didn't learn.
Not quite. Yeah. Tried it again and did not work again. Yeah. Ruiz got him tonight.
Yeah.
Just one of those nights. And yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing about the home runs too, and this has been the case for, you know, different Cubs pitchers at times is, you know, it's okay if you're limiting most of the damage and it's just home runs, but they got to be solo home runs. You know, if you're giving them up when guys are on base, the runs rack up. So tonight the Cubs offense actually kind of showed up. The rotation for the most part has been pretty good. I think as our guy Ryan Herrera had pointed out since the All-Star break, I think like around like a 3 ERA for the rotation, which is pretty good for a group that's sort of strung together in a lot of ways. But the offense hasn't come through. And then, of course, you know, tonight the offense puts up 5 and it's not enough. So it's a story of a not so good team.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was going to say with the record they have, you don't expect the ERA to be that decent for the starting rotation. You expect it to be worse than that since the All-Star break, but it hasn't been. There were some positives in this game. You know, obviously for the Nationals, Ruiz, I can see why they wanted him in that Scherzer. He hasn't had a great season, and it's not like he's taken off like they maybe hoped, but you can see the potential and why they wanted him in the Scherzer-Turner deal as one of the key pieces. And now we get the pitcher that was part of that deal in the game tomorrow. So it's just kind of, boy, you talk about rebuilding. That's a total teardown over there. Seiya Suzuki, that was one of the super bright spots, you know, other than getting thrown out at second there. I mean, three hits, a home run, 2 runs scored. That's just a guy I want to see a lot of the last 2 months of the season. You know, we talk about that playing time. I don't think he was ever in danger of losing the playing time other than the injury. But it's just somebody like those. His at-bats are at-bats you don't want to miss watching. You can miss some guys. Like if Ortega's up, I can walk into the kitchen and do, you know, go get more ice cream. But when Seiya's up, I do want to watch what he's doing. And I thought his at-bats tonight were impressive. He could have had 4 or 5 hits, to be honest with you. Every time he was up, he hit hard.
Yeah, I think the expected batting average on the 2 balls that he didn't get a hit on were, I think, both like 500 and above. So I think he pretty easily could have had a 5-hit night here. It's good to see. He's, you know, I know that he's an interesting case, right? Because he's 27 and he comes over from Japan with all these accolades and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he's still a rookie. And I think you can kind of get the sense through social media and stuff that I think some fans have, you know, less patience for him than they might if he were a traditional rookie, right? And, you know, not to make excuses or anything like that, but he's got a lot of adjustments to make. And, you know, expecting him to come over and immediately live up to that contract probably isn't that realistic. Right now, he's been a slightly above league average hitter. He's a really good athlete. He's been good in the field. He's got a great arm. I don't know whose call it was to run in the ninth inning there, but I think from what I've seen, he's been pretty good on the bases. And he's just got to go through these adjustments, right? Like he earlier in the year, he was super patient and he was getting called out on strikes a ton, kind of getting the MLB umpire treatment, right? A lot where you go, okay, he's getting punished for being patient. Like that wasn't a strike. Adjusted, swinging a bit more since coming back from the injured list, and he's going to keep having to adjust. But yeah, I agree with you. Like it's the same as like, you know, Keegan and Steele, like they're kind of must watch, you know, television for this team because their success is really going to inform a lot of what this kind of next timeline is.
Yeah, they showed that stat during the broadcast of rookies with home runs for the Cubs this year. Saya 9, Morel 10. You know, you got Velasquez with like 6 now. And it brought me back to something I heard on the radio this week. Respected baseball mind media member was asked about, you know, how many of these guys are really going to be on. The discussion was about why they're not signing Contreras and why the extension probably isn't coming for him. And, you know, don't get your hopes too high on that situation. And the question was asked, how many of these guys will be on the next great team currently on the roster? And the response was like, I think he said 1 or 2. And I was like, ooh, how does that make you feel if that is the case? And, you know, because the first name that popped into my head when I thought that, when he was saying 1 or 2, was that the one would probably be Nico Hoerner after this season. If it's 2, maybe it's Keegan Thompson, maybe it's not Keegan Thompson. Is Saya the other guy that you think is definitely part of the next great Cubs team? 27 makes you kind of hesitate for a second. How do you feel about that?
I would hope that that number is low because otherwise that team's not showing up for a long time, right?
That's right.
And I would be surprised if it's that low. I think that a lot of what we're seeing from these guys, how many of them are everyday starters on that team? I don't know. But you need good depth. And this is something that we talk about a lot, all of us really, that, you know, through some of those really good Cubs teams in that last era, the depth wasn't good. And they spent a lot of money on some bad players to fill out benches. Like Nelson Velasquez looks like a guy who can be a quality bench piece. He's got a lot of power. And if that can play at the major league level, if he can keep that K rate down, that's a useful guy that maybe plays, you know, say he plays 3 times a week, 4 times a week, something like that, pinch hits, things like that. It also depends on what we're defining. If we're talking about like the next 2016 level team that's setting like major league records in terms
a
of
a team
certain,
that could go to the NLCS,
you know, like that might be a few years from now. I'm kind of looking at everything from a competitiveness standpoint. You know, what do they need to do to compete in this division that isn't particularly good? And I don't think has any threat of being particularly good, right? The Cardinals are a good team, but they're not a juggernaut. They didn't make a deal to become a juggernaut. The Brewers are kind of all over the place. They've been playing terrible lately. So I just want to get to the point that they're competitive. And I look at this team and, you know, you look at guys like, why wouldn't Christopher Morel be a piece on a competitive team, even if it was a depth piece, right? Like,
right. I agree with you. I that's maybe the question. I didn't hear the question right, because that was my other response. Was he saying these were guys that weren't going to be part of the team, or they weren't going to be starters on the team? Because I do think there's more than 1 or 2 guys that could be part of the next great Cubs team. They just might not all be starters. Now, I can see pretty clearly, I can see Nico being a starter on the next great Cubs team.
Yeah.
Other guys, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure what their position is going to be. And for that matter, we don't know what Nico's position is necessarily going to mean, despite the fact that Brennan, if he's watching this, is just having a meltdown right now if I say that, because he's been so good at short. But it's just a reality if you go after some free agents.
I think Brendan would be amenable to some of those names taking over short, as long as Nico is still in the plans. I think that's fine. But okay, I'll have to run it by him.
Yeah. I mean,
but you know, and like, you know, something with guys like Morel too, like that's a really valuable player. Maybe he's not a guy that you give 600 plate appearances to. Right. But you know, you look at even the 2016 team, they moved guys around all the time. I always use this example when I talk about stuff like this, and I'm not comparing them directly. Please don't twist my words, but everybody, I think, sometimes forgets that Javi Baez was not a starter on the 2015 team or really the 2016 team, right? Like by the time they get to the playoffs, he's playing pretty much every game because they're moving him around. If, you know, a certain guy was pitching, he's playing third or whatever, but he was not a mainstay 600 plate appearance guy in all of those seasons. Oh, there he is. He heard you. Brendan heard you. his ears are burning. I don't even know if he was on this channel before. He must have sensed it. But you know, guys like that are really valuable, that you can move around, not even just the infield. Morel can play everywhere, right? And having those guys and someone that has that power, and like, those are really valuable players. So is everybody here going to be a starter when they win the next World Series? Probably not, right? Yeah. But I think they're building some really quality depth that Jed can either build around, build above, or move and use to get, you know, full-time starters if you want to go that route too.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing to accumulate better baseball players than you have previous to that, you know? Like,
yeah,
I'm not saying they have a bunch of all-stars on the team, but they have increased the amount of quality players in the organization. That much we can see so far. So McKinstry's a perfect example of that. I don't know what his fit is with this team. I don't know if he's just going to be a left-handed version of David Bodie, but what I do want to see him get those opportunities the last 2 months, because that's all this is. That's all. It's just about exploration here the last 2 months of the season. And when he gets three hits tonight, and you can see that he's, you know, he's also a very versatile player. That's a piece, you know, if Morel's hurt or you need another, but whatever, I don't know what the role is. I don't, but I want to see if he's worth having on the roster going into next season. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Well, and he showed a little bit of, you know, that kind of athleticism, some good base running in the game tonight, I think going first to third on a Morel single. And you know, we saw this Jed, like this week, really like woke up and was like, all right, cutthroat Jed is back, baby. Like we're making some moves. We're getting rid of some guys. We're opening up some space. And, you know, you see it with like Frank and, you know, the Hayward situation, like, and maybe they were even late on some of those, but it just gets to a point where it's like, yeah, these are valuable, you know, positions and playing time and at bats and innings in the field, even like you gotta have them be productive. And if you get to the end of the year and you think, oh, okay, you know, Zach McKinstry, whatever, we're not feeling it. You know, you have a lot of 40 man decisions to make, and maybe he doesn't show you enough to stick in the off season, whatever. Fine. Who cares? Right. They lost to the Nationals tonight. Who cares? Like Cody was there. I was hoping for a win for Cody. He was in the bleachers vibing, but you know,
he took the night off to go to the game, and what he got was a dose of CJ Edwards.
Yeah. The revenge game. Yeah.
And heartache. I agree. I'd like to see McKinstry more. And we talked about this a little bit last night on the podcast, like who's the next guy that they might slowly start to ease out. And before the show even ended, then it was Schwindel down to the minors.
Right.
Guys, I've seen, this is nothing against him. I've seen enough of Ortega to know that he's not part of the next great Cubs team. He's batting 230s. He's a terrible base runner. It was a bad play tagging up, trying to score there. Like, and that isn't the first bad base running move he's had this season. I wanted to see him. I wanted him to get those at bats early in the season. Until he started kind of taking a dive right before the trade deadline, I was okay with him being on the roster. I was okay with him being in the lineup. I don't know if I need to see him at the top of the lineup.
Yeah,
the last 2 months of the season. I think there's other guys I'd rather see getting those at bats.
That's definitely the thing for me. He's been a quality piece for them and a good find, especially against right-handed pitching. But the really weird to see him continue getting leadoff at bats. I know for some of these guys, you maybe want them lower in the order as you kind of like ease them into things, like don't necessarily want that pressure on them. But these games are all so low stakes, right? Like, let's just get these guys at bats. Like Rafael Ortega getting more at bats, you know, he got more at bats than McKinstry tonight, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. What is who is that? You know, maybe in the immediate, you have an idea that that's better to win the game tonight, which even that I'm not so sure is true. But yeah, like if you're going to play him, like he shouldn't be leading off. And again, I know there was some, you know, when the lineup came out today on Tuesday, like a lot of people's immediate reaction was, why isn't Velasquez starting again? Right. He, you know, homered,
Has
been playing well. Sometimes I'm sure they are particular about matchups and they don't want guys to get overmatched and kind of overthink things. But for some of these guys, I just want to see him play every day. Like, show us what you got. If they struggle against lefties or righties, whatever it is, like, so what? You know, like, if they're really, you know, going through it and it's too much for them, then okay, yeah, you can space it out. But, like, let's just get these guys out there, get a big sample, and by the end of the year, you know, have a more informed opinion of, like, okay, yes, no, maybe so, right? And I think you know what you have in Ortega. If you find that to be something useful, okay. But I don't think you're going to learn anything new about him in the last, you know, 40 games or whatever it is.
Agreed. We're not suggesting that the Cubs ruin a young player's confidence. I don't need a guy coming up from AA or AAA too soon and ruining their confidence with their first trip up to the majors. I'm not suggesting that. If a guy is ready, bring him up and play him instead of Ortega. But like David points out, and I agree with him 100%, Ortega's 31. Like, he's not a great player, and he's 31. So if there is a player that deserves more playing time, if it's McKinstry, fine. If it's Morel more in center field and McKinstry then playing in the infield, that's all good. That's what I would like to see more of. If that means Velasquez should be in center and, you know, Franmil should be DHing, okay. But I don't see as many opportunities. I'll be interested to watch what happens the last 2 months. I don't see why they would give too many opportunities to Ortega the rest of the way.
We had some fun over the last year, and I'm 31. So, like, no knock on these guys. We had some fun with these 30-year-olds. Patrick Wisdom has been a great find. Frank was fun last fall. But, you know, the youth movement really needs to take over, right? Like, it was fun, but okay, enough of the old dudes. Let's at least be in the mid to late 20s if we're going to be doing this stuff, right?
What do you think of Franmil Reyes? I mean, we got his first look, he got his first hit, he got his first RBI, he was excited. Prior to that, he was 0 for the night. You know, I mean, I know we'll get to who you got later. He was your guy, but
I tried to get sneaky.
Do you like that experiment?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing with Franmil, I'm not sure what happened in Cleveland this year. He obviously, you know, that strikeout rate spiked 37%. Career for the most part, going back to 2018, was around 28%. So clearly the K rate really jumped. But you look at his time getting regular, semi-regular time back from 2018, 129 WRC plus, 111, 116, 125. So pretty decidedly above league average hitter, capable multiple times, 2019 and 2021, hit over 30 home runs, and only 27 years old. So for whatever the, you know, waiver claim costs or whatever. Like, I thought this was a no-brainer. A lot of people expected it. And as soon as they announced it, they were like, yeah, this makes sense. And it's worthwhile. The guy has a ton of power. If you can figure out how to get that K rate down, that, you know, 9 or 10% that it's jumped this year. Why this year is the anomaly, I don't know. That's why they pay guys like Justin Stone and the rest of the Cubs hitting group to figure that stuff out and not me. But I think there's something there. You know, will you see it in the next month and a half? Who knows? You know, then you have some decisions to make there. I think he still has some minor league options too. So it's a flexible kind of move. But yeah. And even if we're looking at this as like a one for one, they don't play the same position, but I would rather watch him than Frank. It's just more productive.
That's even right. He's younger.
4 years. That's it. Right.
He's younger. And Brendan is back in the chat saying, yeah, Franmil is a large person. He is a big dude. And they mentioned that in the broadcast too, that the Guardians weren't too excited about the weight that he came into camp with. And so that's, you know, something to see how he'll play the rest of the season. And if he is back on the team next year, which I kind of think he might be part of the roster, at least for most of spring training, to see what kind of shape he'd come into camp, because that's going to be something they're obviously going to want to watch. And hey, it's an off season where you can actually have contact with the players. So,
yes, that'll be nice. I'm sure that's a luxury for the teams this time. And you know, sometimes this is a gut check for guys, right? Like he's kind of seemingly been a pretty consistent performer, like, and all of a sudden things go south, and now you've gotten DFA'd. And I don't know about his physical conditioning or anything like that. Who knows? You know how that comes about. But, you know, sometimes this stuff really motivates guys. And it's like, okay, yeah, something has happened here. I'm not performing as well. I got to really step it up.
You know, I didn't place any bets, but I do want to remind everyone that going into tonight, I was over 63% on my success rate.
I think Cody hit his best bullet tonight.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. I like to brag around Cody when I say that. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. That's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content from Ryan Herrera, Jared Willis. You even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt from the locker, all for making just a slightly more than $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com. We'll help you out. It's your home for live in-play betting. It's just gotten even better. See an edge in the game you're watching? Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Are they going to blow it? Possibly if it's the Cubs. Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. Download the PointsBet app right now. Use the promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And Corey, I do want to point out that our next partner, I've been using it all week long. Give me a little energy, that a little boost that I've needed. But I've been
I always notice it, Luke.
Yeah, I know. I've been using it pretty regularly now for several months. And I wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. And now that's what I'm getting from AG1. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy. Instead, it's kind of mild, a tropical taste. And I look forward to it in the morning. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help start your day right. A special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I get that boost of energy, so I take it first thing on an empty stomach. It's also lifestyle friendly, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day. That's right, $3 a day, recommended by professional athletes, more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No, you don't have to take a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D, five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do, visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOCubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGOCubs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Let's see. Oh, David Elliott saying, Cody, thank you for reminding me to smash the like button.
Please do. And it's good to see Cody here in the chat.
He survived the night. He survived. The revenge game from Carl Edwards. Cody, was it your favorite game? Are you going to join the chat, or are you not in condition to actually come on camera? Is that the way this is going to be, just a chat for you and Brendan? Yeah, most likely that's the case.
Just bothering us. I saw that
at one point he had a whole pitcher of margaritas that he purchased for like $35 with his girlfriend, and so I thought, we probably won't see Cody come on. But
I think he was living the Southport life this afternoon, which is a good way to live. Yeah, it was a beautiful day.
Started early.
Yeah.
Took advantage of the nice day off. Speaking of Cody, you know, he had the day off. He had the tickets to the game. He had some friends in town. And let's go ahead and look at who wore it best, Nelson Velasquez or our Cody Del Mendo. Now, that's Cody. I don't believe that's today. That was a couple of weeks ago. Cody with the like Hawaiian shirt and that scooter that he rides to work all the time. Well, apparently his favorite player, Velasquez, has one too at Wrigley Field. Here's what I would want to see out of this. I don't want to know who wore it better, because that's the obvious question. I want to know who wins the race. Which one of those guys gets on that scooter? And if we set up a race outside Wrigley Field going right past the, you know, the fire department, can Cody take Velasquez in Scooters of Anarchy? That's Joey. That's a good one, Joey. Well done.
Yeah, Joey, we made that quick. First of all, Brendan's response to that is, I don't want Nelson Velasquez racing anybody because I don't want anybody getting hurt. I know he's thinking that. I've known him for too long.
Yeah, okay.
But Cody tweeted that at Nelson Velasquez, and I'm really hoping that Nelson Velasquez, you know, says something back. I don't know what he would say, but I'm just fascinated at that. I think the answer to who wins the race depends on whether Cody's back tire stays intact. It's had a tumultuous history. So if it stays full, I think Cody might have that one.
It sounds like a scooter defect, like that's happened at least multiple times. He's had to replace that tire. Like he hits a stone and boom, there goes the tire. So I don't know, like maybe he should look for another scooter. Although they
streets of Chicago, you know, I don't know.
Well, the potholes alone, if they ruin your car tire, they're going to ruin a scooter tire. That's without question. So yeah, good vibes for Cody. I think what he was looking for was some sort of response from Nelson Velasquez, maybe just a like, you know, just a heads up, like, hey, I'm watching you. Much like yesterday when I threw out the Star Wars TikTok and everybody was doing Luke. And sure enough, I tagged Mark Hamill, the real Luke Skywalker, for the second time in my life. Yeah, there it is. Luke Skywalker gave me a heart. What do you think of that? Huh? How big is that for the geeks out there?
Listen, I like Nelson Velasquez, but this is big time, Luke.
He's no freaking
Mark Hamill
Jedi.
is big right. time. Yeah. That's Luke Skywalker.
The only thing he could do better is if Baby Yoda gave me a heart. But I don't believe he's on Twitter.
Does he have a Twitter account?
No, Mark Hamill
is old enough to have a Twitter account.
Grogu, is that what they call him? Mark Hamill's a pretty good follow. He does a lot of tweeting, and he is pretty responsive to people on Twitter for someone who is worldwide famous.
And I'll tell you, Luke, I am going to wear out that clip of you saying "shut the hell up" at the end of that video. I got a GIF of it. I got a video of it. And my content bank was really grateful yesterday. That's going to be very useful.
Your content bank, that's what you call it?
It's a folder on my phone, but yeah.
It's like the computer at the Cubs. What is it called? Is it called Wrigley or Addison, or what do they call that thing?
It's like Ivy, maybe?
Ivy,
like
I think it might be Ivy. Yeah. That's what you should – your content bank probably needs a name.
Secret name, yeah.
I also saw on social media that Mike Rodriguez of Univision posted that – did you see the video of Pedro Strop? That's the last time Cody tagged someone was Pedro Strop. and Stroop gave him the good vibes and was happy with their matching outfits, and they had that kind of the onesie look going. Pedro Stroop's kid is 14 years old, and Rodriguez says, wait, is this a left-handed Acuna swing? And if so, how fast do you want to see the Cubs go out and sign this kid?
Well, so the rumor, and maybe Ryan can speak to this if he's able to join, was that Franmil Reyes said that Stroop was coming to Wrigley this week, which would only leave tomorrow, because they're friends. They're from the same neighborhood in the Dominican Republic, or from the same town.
Okay, all right.
And so I just bring that up because there is no – you and I have talked about vibing. We're, you know, getting more familiar with that, right?
Right, right, yeah. There the word is new to me.
Pedro is the peak. There is no right. human being that exudes vibes or personifies vibes more than Pedro Stroop. On the field, off the field, it doesn't even matter. The man is a living vibe. I can only imagine the electricity if his son was a Chicago Cub. This isn't even the first time I think one of his son's highlights has gone viral on social media. I think he took Pedro deep one time when he was down there. Wow. And that went around. But yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, that's a beautiful swing. So that would be very exciting.
Michael Collada says, Ricketts likes him. He's cheap. Okay. I knew that was coming. Yeah, it's somebody new. Hey, all these guys have the kids coming up. Bo Bichette's been good. You know, all these kids, Biggio's kids, good. Who else am I thinking on that team? Bichette's kid, Vlad Jr., like
Biggio.
Why not the next Stroop? Cubs, get on that early. So don't forget it.
Here's the question. If he's in the field, does he tilt his hat to the left? You can't do it with a batting helmet, right? So it would have to be the hat when he's in the field.
And Stroop his tops in vibe, but wasn't peak Javi pretty vibish, if that's a word? I mean, I used to ask Javi, I used to love to, like, every time I interviewed him, ask him, like, so who has more swag, like you or Pedro Stroop? And me, you know, like they love to talk about their swag, the two of them. But who has
at
the
that
better
point?
Vibe?
I think you're splitting hairs. I'm always a Stroop man. For whatever reason, when I used to run an Instagram for the podcast Brendan and I were doing, of course, before we joined CHGO, Pedro was always following, and if I ever tagged him, he would reply to me like in the DMs. Like, I'm not saying that Pedro and I are close friends. I'm also not saying that.
Right. Right. So, you're not as close as I am to Mark Hamill, but
yes. Right. It's sort of it's a good analogy, right?
Right.
If it was like an SAT question, you know, Luke Stuckmeyer is to Mark Hamill as Corey is to Pedro Stroop.
That's right.
So I'm always going to go Pedro, but you're really splitting hair there. Like the two, Javi and Pedro, are just electric players. And if Pedro's son is half as much fun to watch as Pedro was, yeah, that would be a welcome addition.
I wonder if legally we have to keep Cody away from the ballpark if Stroop is going to be there tomorrow. Like, just, you know, trying to get some of that vibe. Oh, there it is. Vibish. See, that is a
Joey's
word.
Quick.
After all, Joey, man. Thank you, Joey. I knew that was a word. Vibish.
Joey is quick. Very good. Yeah, well, so now, you know, I mean, if Cody can go to the game tomorrow, the real challenge is you gotta wear an outfit that is befitting of the king there. We're talking like,
that's right,
highlighter pink, maybe, if Cody has it. Like, really only every time I see Pedro post on Instagram, I'm like, I could not in a million years pull off these clothes.
He'll
look
do
at
the
me
matching
like
shirt
insane.
And shorts.
Yeah.
What are they? Oh, a romper. A romper. Man romper is what they call it, really.
And he wears the hell out of it, you know?
He does.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Anderson's the only other guy I've seen try to pull off the romper type look, and his was just kind of the same thing. Matching, but not necessarily a romper.
All right. Well,
rompers,
Cody,
when you really are bold.
Challenge has been laid, Cody. So,
hey, did you see PCA homered again?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. You know, we're talking about earlier in the podcast, the next great Cubs team. Boy, he's kind of shooting to the top of that list. For some reason, I'm drawn to Owen Casey's swing too. Like, I know there's a, don't get me wrong, I know there's a long list of prospects, and PCA for some has now shot ahead of even Brandon Davis. I don't know. I think there's some, if you're asking me to just pick some names and throw names out there, I think Owen Casey's part of the next great Cubs team. And I haven't seen a ton of him. I'm just saying the stuff I see from him, I'm like, that might play in the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting for a lot of the levels of this system. I think PCA was 3-for-4 with a homer and a walk. And I think we had it in our Twitter mentions, but I think it's his 8th home run with South Bend, and he hit 7 with Myrtle Beach, who's got 15. Then I think he went down the line for one of his extra base hits the opposite way. He's so fast. Every time I watch him, I know he's fast. I already know this, but every time I watch it, I out loud, I'll go, man, he's so fast. There's a lot of talent. And, you know, we saw the other day, like Brendan Davis hitting off of Adbert Alzolay. So like, hopefully we're able to see a little bit of Brennan in some capacity. That would be really good news given that. The system is in a good place, and we had a couple days, I think over the weekend, you know, especially with like Ben Brown's debut and going back last week too, where it just seemed like every 2 minutes, the wonderful prospect guys of Cubs Twitter were tweeting that something else had happened in the level. It's, oh, this guy hit a homer. This guy's pumping 101. This guy hit a triple. It's like, you know, it's rapid. So that's in a good place. Hopefully we're not waiting. If we're waiting until like Owen Casey is, you know, ready to go at the major league level, we're going to be watching a lot more games like tonight, you know, for a little while.
I'm just saying, I think he might, it might take that long. I don't know. A lot of people begging for Matt Mervis. I see David and Nick are on the Matt Mervis train. That's been he's been a real popular name the last probably 4 weeks of Cubs fans wanting to see more of that guy. Duke, undrafted free agent. Mostly that's because of the draft that he was in. You know, he would have been drafted, but that was a shortened draft. So, but he's another interesting name. They do have some guys, despite the fact that their drafts have been very pitcher heavy, there are a lot of bats that they had prior to that they added. And did you see that Jed Hoyer kind of admitted, like, he was asked to kind of compare the farm system to like the farm system of 2013-14, like as it started to build up towards that. And he was like, this group may not have the star power that one did, but it has nice depth that they're starting to build. So I didn't know how to take that. You know, I didn't know if I should be disappointed in hearing that, because I think any Cubs fan that watched the building happen from 14 to 15 to 16, the fact that those guys did come up and, you know, mostly become stars and then win the World Series, I mean, that's, in a perfect world, I know it's not that easy, but that's what you're hoping for. You are hoping for a lot of these guys to be stars. So I don't know if I want to hear him say it doesn't have the star power. I want there to be a Chris Bryant. Maybe it's the guy that they draft next year that's the next Chris Bryant. But I want PCA to be the next, you know.
Yeah.
I want all those guys I want to be able to compare somebody from 16 to somebody to this. That's just what we do as fans. You compare the guy from 16 to the guy that's coming up. Who can be this guy? Who can be this guy? And so I don't want anybody to tell me that the star power isn't there yet. At least that was my initial reaction to that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's just sort of couching expectations, I guess, and trying not to put that on some of these guys, right? Because, and I will always take an opportunity to mention that what Chris Bryant did was astounding, right? He had the highest expectations, and he came in and within a 2-year span won every conceivable award that you could and a World Series, right? So that's not easy. Then you look at some of those other guys, right? Like, you know, there was that kind of thing early on that I think Theo had referred to Schwarber as the next Babe Ruth. And then, you know, as some of his Cubs seasons were not as successful as you'd want them to be, a lot of people were like, Babe Ruth, you know, like, no. You know, that's a separate discussion for man, Joey is on fire tonight. Man. If you're on the podcast, you got to check out Joey's work on the CHGO YouTube channel. But
and subscribe.
I think, like, you know, the other thing is that at least at the moment, they just don't have those guys. And maybe some of these pitchers might fall more into that. You know, I think Jordan Wicks is a guy that's like a fast mover. And we'll see how quickly like Cade Horton can move, the guy they drafted in the first round this year. Some of them are just, you know, they're much younger. They're, you know, Chris Bryant was coming out of college and a pretty polished player, except for, of course, as everybody knows, needing to work on his defense for an extra couple days, right? Yeah. Other than that, he was ready to go. Wink, wink. But, you know, these guys are very young. You know, all those guys in the Darvish trade were all teenagers for the most part. And it's not as easy to just expect that, you know, right away. So I think you look at some of these guys and you hope that they can get there, but they're going to go through that process of graduating each of the levels and taking their time and not rushing things. I think we would be really excited about Brendan Davis, not comparing him to Chris Bryant or what Chris Bryant was able to do, but I had, and I think most people had, very high expectations for Brendan Davis. And I think only because he has not been able to make any progress this year has that kind of been, you know, cooled down, maybe is the right way to say that. But I think he could be that guy. And I think you watch someone like PCA play, and I think he could be that guy. We're just going to have to be patient on that.
Brendan's on the chat saying, I wonder if the star power will come in the form of a Major League Baseball guy with fewer team control in years for a few of these prospects, since the prospects are being valued higher than in previous years. Yeah, everybody's valuing prospects. Nobody wants to give them up. That's what we saw at the trade deadline. That's why Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras are still on the team, because of that. I don't want to destroy the depth just by trading away a bunch of those guys. I'm sure they realize that some of those players eventually will have to be packaged together, because that's what, you know, that's what happens. You know, at some point, Gleyber Torres was signed and they knew he was probably not going to be on the Cubs. Eloy was really signed and they knew he was probably never going to play for the Cubs. So they realized some of those guys are going to be given away. At the same time, you're able to go spend the money when those young guys hit and you can get them playing. It's like getting your star quarterback, Justin Fields, in his rookie contract. Justin Fields, if he takes too long to develop, isn't as valuable if you have to pay him so much that you can't afford the rest of the roster. So the window has to come fast for those guys when they get up. So I hear what Brendan's saying. I just would rather see him spend that money than start trading away prospects that they've just built up.
Yeah.
If it was Soto and it was a different situation than it is now, yes, but this wasn't the right time to try and deplete your entire, they didn't have enough to get Soto anyway. Right. So,
yeah. I mean, and you know, maybe you revisit that conversation. You know, there's sort of those loose rumors about someone like Shohei Ohtani. Like, I think he kind of falls in that camp where it's like, okay, you know, I would do it for this, right? He's that type of player. I think what Jed is going for is what we see the Dodgers do, right? They're sort of the consummate example of this, where they do all of these things. They make big trades and they trade from that depth, but then they also call these guys up to fill in when guys leave in free agency or guys get hurt or whatever. And it seemingly never ends, right? Like
Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. I mean, it never ends. They go and sign free agents. They bring up another top 100 prospect who's throwing 103 miles an hour. They bring up another guy who's this top prospect. They trade him, but they're still there. And I think that's what Jed is going for. It's a difficult needle to thread. Right. So that's the thing, is it is very difficult. And, you know, that's where I think, and I think we, you know, you and I and Cody, when we've been in studio together, have talked about this, like that's kind of the danger. And I think the frustration from some, when you hear Jed sometimes talk about the next great Cubs team and kind of centering it around some of these prospects, where it's like, that's risky, man. Like we just talked about PCA. Think he's brilliant. Like, it's amazing watching him play. Yeah. Am I positive that he's going to be a successful major league player? Like, he's not even in double A. I don't know. Right. Like, I think so.
We're excited about Felix PA.
Well, we could go down that rabbit hole forever. Right.
And, right. Jackson, I mean, like, Corey Patterson was a nice major league player, but people were talking about Corey Patterson like he was going to be Ken Griffey Jr.
Right. Yeah. So it's a difficult proposition. Yeah. The thing that makes this a lot easier, and you'll see what they decide to do in this particular offseason, is there's a lot of very talented players whose services are available for you for nothing more than a check, right? You don't have to trade anybody. You don't have to develop anybody. They just show up at Wrigley Field. You hand them a bunch of money, and they probably play really, really well, right? So yeah, we'll see if they decide to go that route or not.
And that's why we appreciate your season ticket holder funds that you filter in towards that.
You know? Yeah, they're really pushing it. Yeah, if they hadn't been in my family for like 15 years, it would be a very different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun to watch all of these guys. And I agree with you about the whole prospects thing, that until they make it, that's what they are, prospects. And if it's a great player, sometimes the deal is right. I just think right now they're not in a position to just start unloading the farm system. It's not like the farm system is number one in the majors, okay? It's improved. It's better than it was. It's probably you're hoping it's top 15 now, maybe? Top, what
it
do you
depends
think?
Who 10? You ask. I think with some of the guys, they have it in the top, I think, 10 pretty easily, and then, you know, some pretty close to that. It really depends.
Right. So that means there's at least 9 other teams out there that are like, we've got better young players coming up than the Cubs. So they're, even if all those guys were as good as we think they are, they're going to have to go spend some cash on the right players.
Yeah.
And they got to hope those contracts don't turn into Jason Hayward or don't turn into whoever, you know, the money has to be spent in the right place. And so that's where you put your.
Some of them, Luke, work out like John Lester, though. And it's
that's right.
Worth every penny.
That's right. And, you know, that's where I hesitate on the, like, Rodon or whoever the next, there isn't that great guy. Like, if it was DeGrom, I'd be like, okay, I'd take the injury risk for me. Rodon would certainly in the offseason make them a much better team next year, but I don't know if he's a good enough guy to be your Lester moving forward. That's the type of spending that you don't want. You want to make it for the fans, but if you're trying to truly build a team, you also don't want it to just be a waste of cash too, if you're saving it for Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or whoever it might be.
Yeah. There's a lot of decisions to be made with this team. I guess I'm glad I don't have to make them, right?
No, I'd like to see you make them. You'd be pretty good at it. You and Cody and the pitch doctor teaming up.
The payroll would be $1 billion.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'd sell a lot of scooters. We'd make up for it. I do want to tell you about OWN, which stands for Only What You Need. OWN's a 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you nutrition that's working as hard as you do. All their products are free of artificial ingredients. They're allergen-friendly, no gluten, no dairy, easily digestible. First heard about it when I found out that Bears quarterback Justin Fields, QB1, follows a plant-based diet. And now OWN and CHGO have partnered up to give you an awesome offer, 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com. That's LiveOwyn.com with the code CHGO20. Join me and Justin Fields and try OWN, only what you need. By the way, not to get totally off topic, what a mess with the Bears' best player, Roquan Smith. Wow. Guy wants to be traded. At least we're not in that situation.
It's I think it's probably good for our Bear Squad's YouTube views and podcast listens.
I would say it's helping them out a little bit.
So,
it's gonna be
I'm not a big football guy, so I'm just gonna root for CHGO here. So, you know.
All right. You wanna do who you got?
I think we have Ryan Herrera here.
Oh, we got him.
Yeah.
I was about to say, are you just going to leave me out there? I've been.
I got you. I got
it. Yeah. I was.
Luke.
Look who I have, like, special. I mean, I got readers, but like,
yeah, readers.
I can't see magic screens somewhere, you know. Joey, give me. Oh, I see he's got a private chat message. It's gonna be. We have Ryan. If you want to intro Ryan, Ryan's ready to go. Why are you ignoring Ryan? Okay, never mind. Well, Ryan, why don't we get straight to who you got since I won?
Again? Are you sure?
Boom! Look at that, Saya. Woo! You know what this means?
I guess so.
By taking Saya, I have now won four of the last five. I'm back within one of catching Cody. Stroman looked good early on, and then those home runs just blasted you out of it. And I thought, well, Franmil, if he hits like a three-run homer or something, would potentially. But man, this is a runaway winner with me with Saya tonight. You can't even make a fake argument against it, right?
Can't argue against it. And, but
my guy
at least
got a hit.
That's true.
You know what? I will say, if you want to just give everyone a point, like, I'm okay with it.
No, I don't. This is one of the most decisive wins of the year right here. This was running. I mean, Cody had Schwindel and Joey had Hayward. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I sent this in our group, you know, channel, but, you know, Franmil had the RBI hit. He also had two ground balls that were 103 miles an hour. They were outs, but like, I don't get any
He struck out looking too.
I don't get like a scorched ground out half a point or something. No. All right.
No,
I'm just happy I didn't get an over.
I won the last time
I was there and I didn't go over tonight.
Yeah. Plus one of those home runs that Stroman gave up. Just kind of snuck in the right field. Like, what was that? That was barely a home run. So it's more like he was close enough to a quality start than
if it weren't for the four runs by Homer, he had a great game. What was the conversation like from David Ross in the clubhouse?
Yeah, it was kind of like that, especially with Stroman. Like, Ross kind of said himself, like, he thought that Stroman actually pitched well. Stroman said himself that, you know, that he thought he pitched well. He said he like feels good. He feels like he's kind of in that spot that he wants to be. And that's what we've kind of been looking at and looking for, you know, the whole season really. Cause he, stint on the IL, the COVID IL, like he just really hasn't, you know, even at the beginning of the season, still building up from the short spring. You know, he's finally, I think it was about a month ago when he finally came back, maybe a little longer than that. And he's looked really good. Even today, I mean, he gave up four runs, but I mean, it wasn't a ton of traffic today. Again, that one home run kind of just snuck out. You know, Stroman, he's like, you know, I do a couple different things go a different way than it happens, but than things might change. But you know, he's talked about how he feels like body wise, pitching wise, like. The mixes are good. The stuff he's trying to do is good. And just today was just ended up being a bad day in the box score, but that he feels in a good place, which I think is what we wanted to see all season, right? Like that's just, he's had a couple of really good starts earlier in the year, but he never was finding it consistently. And he kept saying that he didn't really feel like he was all the way there. Now he says that even though today, it wasn't his best start. He feels just body wise, pitching wise, like he's in the spot he wants to be, or at least getting there.
All right. I mean, other than that, it was like, I've never seen that many singles in one inning before. I felt like it was like the same play was just happening over. I didn't know what was happening. I thought I was having a malfunction in my brain or something, the way it was going. It's just like single, 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 single. And then to blow that after coming back with that was, and again, I know the game doesn't mean anything, but still, I felt for Cody, who took the night off and went to the game and was, you know, getting the vibes. And he's pointing out, you know, he sat in right field wearing a right field suck shirt. The guy had it all going for him. He was talking trash in right field. He was feeling good. And then Mark Leiter just sucked it right out of him right there. It was just, that was it. The happiness was gone.
Shame. And, you know, that was one of those, like, it's like the wind blows, like, any harder. That's in Ian Happ's glove. Like, that bat, someone said, the basket taketh, the basket giveth, the basket taketh away. Yeah. Like, you love the basket when it helps your team, but when it doesn't, then it's the end of the world, right? No, it's that was definitely a bummer considering, I mean, you look at how they did it too, like five of those seven singles were opposite field. Like everyone was just going first to third. Like no one, it was, I will say I tweeted it, but I do think that was an ill-advised tag up from Ortega. I'm not sure if it was his call or if Willie Harris sent him from third. But you have, I mean, even though that gets caught, you have first and third, nobody out. That was like the fourth or fifth straight ball put in play against this guy. Like, I think, yes, the Cubs have struggled to score runs, especially with runners in scoring position this year. But I think it was the way that inning was going. Yeah. Like this guy wasn't striking anyone out. Like they were going to be able to put the ball in play, I think.
With the difference in the game.
Yeah, well, they ended up getting the lead. Yeah, of course, yeah. They ended up getting the lead. But then that's probably could be another run that the Cubs don't get, and instead of it being a loss in nine innings, they might still be in extras right now, and I'm like crying because I want to go home. Like that could be where we're at. So
I kind of like, and I think Jed talked about how they hit into so many rally killing double plays, and that's been, you know, something that we've seen a lot from this offense. But I mean, I remember like some of the first episodes we were doing earlier this year, we talked about like their base running does leave kind of a lot to be desired at times. Yeah. I know I brought up the double play thing because I know that I think Ross is at times being aggressive to avoid that. And, mm-hmm. you know, because at certain times the offense just, it's not there. Yeah. It's, you know, particularly lifeless and you're just trying to make things happen. But I'm, at least at certain points in the season, I would be surprised if they still don't. They led the league in outs on the bases. Mm-hmm. And like, even in that ninth inning with Seiya, you know, again, whoever's call that is, I'm not sure, but one thing from Ross is that I think he likes stealing bases, even when he does not really have a base stealing team. If that makes sense, which again, mm-hmm. I get it, right? You're especially, you have so many guys making contact, trying to stay out of the double play. But there are nights like tonight where, you know, you're left looking at the highlights in the box score going, all right, well, I wonder if they cost themselves this run that they needed pretty badly.
Yeah. I feel like he really tries to push the envelope with knowing that it's not the most talented roster. Mm-hmm. And I guess the only spin zone I could put on Ortega, and I would agree it was a bad tag and he's not super fast and he's not a good base runner generally, would be that, hey, there's 2 months left in the season. You're creating a comeback. You got something going. Why not force the worst team in baseball to try and make a perfect throw to the plate, which they did. So, I give him credit for that. You know, that's a bad team that made a good throw to home. So in that way, I give it a little bit of slack, but.
Yeah. And it's not even that. It's like, you know, Hap just hit it perfectly where.
Right.
I don't remember who the center fielder's name was, but.
Thomas, I think.
Yeah. Was it Lane Thomas, the guy that got from the Cardinals?
Yeah.
The guy that got from the Cardinals, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But the center fielder, it was like the way Ian Hap hit it was like right into his mitt, right where he was literally running straight home. Like it was kind of the perfect situation for a perfect throw for to nail a guy out at home in that situation. Like a lot had to go right for Ortega to kind of get thrown out in that situation. And, you know, and specifically today, everything went right for the Nats in that, you know, in that play that to get him out at home. I mean, I see all the arguments and I see the size, and I know Ross has talked about like wanting to push the envelope and taking those chances when they have them. But I think just in if you look at it just in that inning alone and the way that was going, I don't know. I don't know that I agree with the send in that situation, uh-huh. but I mean, it's definitely a conversation that could be had around that because there's definitely a couple different schools of thought to have on that. And I don't think you can really prove either which way, which one's right, which one's wrong.
Did they say anything about the McKinstry magic tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we actually, you know, talked to Andy Green before the game. We talked to Ross a little bit about it, and just like, you know, he hadn't had a hit yet since he got to the Cubs, and he they both kind of talked about how he, you know, as a guy that like with the Dodgers, even when he was up, wasn't playing all that much, and how hard that can be. I know, you know, Ross is a guy who caught every 5 days towards the back end of his career. Like he played every 5 days and he was catching John Lester. And that, like, he knows that how hard it could be to, you know, not be playing every day. And then one of those days be called upon to pinch hit or be called upon to start a game, you know, how the routine changes and how difficult that could be. And, you know, both of them talked about that again. But I think they were kind of talking. Ross actually said, that during batting practice today, he watched McKinstry, and he looked and he saw that he felt it was McKinstry's best batting practice since like that he's seen thus far. How much does that mean in the grand scheme of things? It's batting practice, so you know, whatever. But it ultimately turned into his first three-hit game as a Cub, his fourth three-hit game in the major leagues. He put, I want to say he put all three opposite field, maybe at least two of them were for sure oppo. All three were opposite field. So you do like to see that, just a guy like McKinstry, who the Cubs, you know, traded one of their better relievers, a guy who kind of came in and there's like, you know, this is a guy we're going to give a shot to over the last couple months of the season. Hadn't gotten a hit coming into today in a Cubs uniform, and comes out, puts up three hits. You know, I think he started a couple of rallies, or he was involved in a couple of rallies right there with those singles. So that's a good night for McKinstry. And I think they've kind of talked about how they see him putting that work in. And if this is that sort of breakout moment, I guess you could kind of say, like, that this is a good start for him.
Well, so Ryan, I you talking about batting practice, I was curious. We were reading a lot reading a lot on social media that the Franmil Reyes batting practice was a bit of a show. Is that you're not into it, Luke?
No, come on. This is, you know, people were acting like Sammy Sosa was at batting practice. The only times I've ever watched batting practice and cared, Sammy Sosa, you would watch if you went to the ballpark, you wouldn't miss Sammy taking batting practice because he used the cork bat and he was putting on a show. And then after that, it was Carlos Zambrano was the only other guy you had to see in batting practice because Big Z would swing so hard you'd think he was going to, you know, dislocate his shoulder to try and hit a home run. Other than that, like, it's batting practice. Like, they're soft tossing the ball. Like, who cares how far the guy's – I don't know. I'm not 10. I don't care about batting practice that much.
It was impressive, the power display that Franmil Reyes put on. And like Corey said, he had a bunch of hard hit balls. Just they didn't all go for hits today.
Well, great. He should be on our 16-inch softball team.
Then. That'd be great. Yeah, but I will say, I'll push back a little bit because Chris Morel's first batting practice when he first got called up was very impressive. And then he hit a home run in his first at-bat that night. So, hey, batting practice might mean something.
Also, I'm not saying they shouldn't take batting practice. I'm just saying I don't know if we can evaluate a guy for hitting a home run in batting practice.
He had a lot of home runs.
We were getting a lot of tweets all at once, like, you know, whoa, Franmil Reyes. So I was just wondering if he was taking out any windows on Waveland or anything like that. You know, I know the Ballhawks are out there. I thought about walking over there, you know, and seeing how far away I could stand and see if I could get a Reyes.
That's a question I've always had. It's like when you're standing over there, like how are you afraid? Like when you see a ball coming and like get hit in the head, like how nervous are you? Like, cause you can't see the ball.
There's a lot of guys out there. Every time I walk past there, if I'm going to the game or going to the train, like when they're out there, they must be pretty confident because they got their gloves ready and it seems to be something they do every day. So I'm assuming they're not wearing them off the head like every time they're doing
with all that blood in their all that blood in their eyes, you would think they'd be able to see it better, but they're not really. So,
well, and Ryan, the rumor, you know, I watched the video. Like, did we get any confirmation? Are we getting Pedro Strop at Wrigley tomorrow? Because that's the only game left in Chicago for the week.
Somebody hosed down Cody. That's what
Franmil said.
Yeah, Franmil said that he's coming to – he didn't specify where. I don't believe he specified where. I mean, that could be – I think he said it's like within the next week that he's going to
– okay.
All right. All right.
Maybe we get – all right, how about this for a shot? Game? I'm just suggesting it for Fox. beautiful shot of the cornfield, and out comes Pedro Strop in like
in a jumper, you know, vintage era
Cubs outfit.
A man romper, like that black and white man romper he has.
This is the quote from Fran Mill. It's big on Pedro Strop. It's big that he's coming this week to watch a game to support me, like I supported him when he won the World Series. This week is happening this week. That can mean Sunday. That can happen over the next 7 days. I mean, it could be Field of Dreams.
You should probably sleep there.
Field.
Ryan should sleep at the ballpark. This is the kind of story that's going to put us over the top. If we can get Pedro Strop to say something to, you know. By the way, Brendan is on here saying, hey, Nico Horner's must-see batting practice too.
Joey, just because he works here, you don't have to put his comments up.
Nico. Anything else, Ryan, before we go? We're at an hour, 10 minutes here. We've been going after, you know, two bad teams going head-to-head. We still crank out an hour, 10 for everybody.
We could go all night talking about this roster crunch. We'll save it. We'll save it for a different day. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Let's save it for Justin Steele and tomorrow's post-game show. Thanks to Joey. Thanks to Brendan. Thanks to Cody. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to Corey. Thanks to the Nationals for coming back and winning that game in depressing fashion. 6-5, Cubs lose, and they will play at 1:20. Justin Steele on the mound. We'll have the post-game show for you right here on CHGO Cubs, so we hope to see you then. Until then, have a great night, and thanks for everybody that joined us on the chat on YouTube.